We're going to be talking a little bit about that verse in 1 Corinthians. That's the letter of Paul, the first one, to the people of Corinth. And before we get into this story, we have to ask the question, well, wait, what the heck? What is Corinth, first of all? What is this about? And so Corinth was a city in the ancient world that was a major trade route between two seas. So you had a lot of money pouring through this city. And as we all know, because we went to Vegas and New York and places like that, when you have a lot of money coming through a city, you can get the highest of highs in culture and expression and just amazing human achievement. And then you can get some not so desirable things. And if their spiritual life was an indication of Corinth's their moral standards, then we can pretty much figure that out. Corinth was very Roman, and a product of that meant that they were very pagan. And their city was devoted to the goddess Venus, or as we know her Greek counterpart, Aphrodite, the goddess of love, and not the touchy-feely love, but the have a temple filled with 1,000 prostitutes, which they worshipped and engaged in. So there was not a lot going for Corinth, you know? It was not a great place to be. It's a very selfish, hedonistic society. And so we must be thinking, Paul, what the heck are you thinking about going to try and plant a church in Corinth, of all places? And we have to understand that, I think, Paul, that was the exact reason why he was going there. That was his mission, and that was God's call for him as an apostle, to go and plant churches. And not in the way that we are thinking. He thought that the people of God needed to know. And so he did. And while it might have taken 18 months to get a church up in a church community, it actually turned out to be one of the largest churches in the first century. And so Paul writes to us, he writes to the people of Corinth here, and he's discussing with his church that he planted there about the good things and the bad things that were happening there. And you can tell from the letter to the Corinthians how much he cares about this church. He feels like he's a father to these people. He really loves these people. And so he's very stern with them. He says, to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. Indeed, there have to be factions among you, so that only those, so that it will become clear who among you are genuine. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, geez, Paul, calm down, dude. Like, why would you say that? And to us, maybe it's not like, okay, whatever, Paul. But like, you know, this is a serious accusation. This is huge. So, Paul, what do you mean by that? And he says, for when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and the other becomes drunk. Now, to us, that kind of falls on deaf ears. Like, what on earth does that mean? The church provides bread and the wine. I don't understand. Why does that matter? Well, we have to understand that contextually, people actually brought the bread and the wine from their own houses and partook of the meal that was provided for themselves. So one person who was possibly more affluent would provide a veritable feast, so they would have a lot of food to eat, while others would bring the bread and the wine. It might be little or nothing. So Paul is like, yo, this is, you are not taking care of your Christian brothers and sisters, and that's just wrong. Do you hate them? What are you doing? And so, you know, we see that there's this selfishness that's permeating from the city of Corinth into the church. And I think this is what Paul is trying to direct our attention to. And I think what God is trying to communicate through Paul to us is this idea of selfishness. And to kind of talk about that sort of to a meal just for the food, I have to tell you a story. So, A good friend of mine, his name's Peter Meyer. He's the he's the community minister at campus ministry. We have a running joke, and he'll come up to the buffet line, thank you, by the way, and he'll take a plate, and he'll look at me, and he'll smile, and he says, you know, man, I'm just here for the free food. And then he'll continue down the line and go get his food. And we laugh, and it's funny, and it's obvious that it's a joke, right? It's obvious that it's a joke. But why is that so absurd, right? Why is that statement so wrong in our eyes? Now, picture a meal that you've had with anybody, whether it's a date or a Thanksgiving or maybe an intimate meal with friends after not seeing them for a long while. What are you doing in that case? Are you there for the food? Do your eyes not rise from the plate that is in front of you? No, of course not. If we're honest with ourselves, we'll know that we are there for the laughter. We're there for the smiles, the stories, the participation in the other people's lives that we've seen and we care for so much. It's about them. It's about them. It's about the people across from us, not the meal in front of us. Because think about that. If we think about just the food in front of us, we're thinking of something mortal, a finite that's containing us. And it's empty without the people there. And so, what does that mean when Paul's talking about the Lord's Supper? Going farther than that, he doesn't add anything to his statement about what this supper is supposed to be about. He says, just as Jesus said, and it was passed down to him, he doesn't qualify it at all. He says, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So what does this mean? It means that when we're coming together today for the bread and the wine, we're not here for the elements. We're here for the person of Jesus Christ, who is the most intimate friend that we could ever have. He knows us and understands us better than anybody that we could ever have in our lives. And he's here today, and he comes again and again and again and again in our hearts and in this meal. And he asks you to come and participate. Communion, the root word means participation, mutual participation. Come to the life that you were called to live. And so today, I ask you, come and partake, participate in this meal. Be present. And come and live the life and live the promise that Jesus has for each and every one of you. Thank you so much.